ASMR is very niche. It is in a way, but it is actually the number one search on YouTube for 2023, more than Mr. Beast, more than beauty, more than cooking, you know, so it's niche, but the views are astronomical.
Hey, Anna, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good, good, good. It's, you know, it's new to me, right, to recording with someone in ASMR, because I'm very loud as an Italian and you're the opposite. So it's going to be very interesting to see the audio levels here, you know.
I'm a little louder when I'm not, you know, in character, but I'm putting on a little bit of the ASMR voice for this experience.
Thank you. I appreciate that. It's fun for me. But Anna, why don't we start, you know, knowing a bit more about yourself? We're going to get more in details about, you know what you do and the creator economy and your channels and everything. But usually what I do it is that I ask their guests to, just in a couple of minutes, just to tell about themselves, but using something that we call MAP. So basically it's the mission, right? So there is like, what do you aim to achieve? Then is the achievements. So anything that you already like, you know, achieved personally, career-wise, anything that you're really proud of. And the last one is the purpose. So why do you do what you do?
Yeah, so my mission is to spread the good word of ASMR as far as wide as I can. And really, really share it as a way to help address the increased anxiety, depression, and insomnia that is really sweeping across the world at this time. You know, I don't have the data to back that up, but I know statistically mental health issues have increased over time. We're all more stressed. The modern world is very overwhelming, and ASMR is a way to sort of calm that down and find a positive community to escape into digitally. So that would be my mission, just to get as many people watching ASMR as possible and using it for good. One of my sort of big achievements that I can point to numbers-wise was we recently hit 1 billion views on TikTok in about 18 months, which just goes to show you how pervasive ASMR really is and how many people are seeking this out or perhaps stumbling upon it. But the thing that really gets me the most excited is when I get those individual messages from people saying how I help them get through a very difficult part of their life or time of their life, how they use my content to fall asleep every night and how that's, you know, positively impacted them. So it's kind of the double-sided thing of like the big numbers are great, but the individual actually, you know, helping people is really powerful. And the purpose is, you know, I touched on a little bit, but like I used ASMR for about 10 years before I started creating it as treatment for insomnia because I was really hesitant to go on any sort of medication for sleep. They're very addictive and very hard to get off of. So the purpose is to really help people like me. You know, I want to create the content that I was consuming because it genuinely changed my life. It let me sleep at night and that let me live my life.
Amazing. And this was one, like, on my question, right? Like, how did you start it? What did you start it? And I'm also curious, like, did you start with one video and then, like, let's see how it goes? Did you plan 20 videos at the same time and you just upload all of them and see what works? Like, tell me a bit more about your first week or month.
Yes, it was deep into the pandemic, late 2020, early 2021. And my partner and I had just moved to a new city. We really didn't have a lot of friends or family around. And I was watching a video one night and I thought, oh, I've watched this video hundreds of times. I wish there was more like it. And as someone with sort of a marketing communications background, I was like, you know, I'm not that unique of a person. If I'm wishing there was more of this, then probably other people are too. So yeah, we just set up two iPhones, or I set up a couple of our phones, and I said, you want to spend 15 minutes doing this? No one's going to watch it. Don't worry about it. It'll be fine. And he was like, sure, what else is there to do? I think it was over the winter holidays, so we were both off work. And filmed one video, I posted it on the Reddit subreddit, and it hit the front page of our ASMR. And I think we had like 1,000 views within a day. And I was like, okay, I'm onto something here. People like this. Yeah, and then we filmed two more that week and just sort of went weekly from there.
And did you set it with short form, long form? Did you do a bit of everything? Because as you said before, many people fall asleep, right, with ASMR. So imagine that if you're on TikTok with the repeat of the same, unless you put the option that, you know, scroll automatically, usually people go on YouTube, right, for that type of content. So it's maybe 20 minutes compilation, whatever, they fall asleep. What type of content, first of all, do you like to do the most? And what type of content do you see your audience liking?
It's really grown a lot over the last 2 years. When I first started, we only did long form. Short form was obviously popular in 2021, but it hadn't had this explosion on YouTube. Shorts wasn't really a thing. Maybe they had like just launched them. Nobody was really using them. Even like Instagram Reels. To get short form content, you had to go on TikTok. And I don't remember it being something that other people were really doing for ASMR at that time. It was more of like, you know, 20-second funny clips type of things. So it was all YouTube for the first year. Long form, fall asleep to it, you know, watch one video after the next. But Gen Z is very, very interested in ASMR. I would say at this point, almost half my audience is Gen Z. They use it a lot for focusing while they're studying or in school or work. They use it a lot for quick, you know, quick relaxation moments or calming moments throughout the day. People will say, if I feel a panic attack coming on, I'll just watch like a 60-second clip. That's all, you know, I need to sort of calm down. So shorts started taking off for me in summer of 2022. I started posting shorts and it was pretty immediate. I think I had a multi-million view viral hit within 6 weeks. My favorite thing to do, they both have their merits. And honestly, a lot of my short form content is just clipped out versions of my long form content.
In your case, ASMR, right? So it's very, like, it's niche, it's very different from many others. So in your case, first of all, like, do you monetize? How do you monetize? And I'm also curious, have you tried also like different, you know, avenues, for instance, like, you know, live streaming? Is it something that, like, does it work? What people, I'm also curious, like, what is the type of comments, right, during a live streaming for ASMR, for instance? Did you try, I don't know, like TikTok series? Any other monetization programs? Like, what is working for you and what is working overall in the ASMR category?
Yeah, it's funny that you started out by saying ASMR is very niche, and it is in a way, but it is actually the number one search on YouTube for 2023, more than Mr. Beast, more than beauty, more than cooking, you know, so it's niche, but the views are astronomical. So it's that weird dynamic between, you know, people often say to me, like, how do you make money off that? You know, but at the same time, it's like the fastest growing vertical on these platforms.
Do you think it's because maybe, like, what I mean by niche, I mean, like, in terms of people, because I'm pretty sure that the same people watch the same video multiple times, right? So do you think that maybe that could be also one of the reasons why, like, maybe niche in terms of like people that are watching, but they watch so many times that they overall gets to the billions of views? Could it be?
Yes and no. I mean, yes, the people do watch videos multiple times, and that is definitely a help in monetization and, you know, how many ad plays you're getting. But as I've done this type of creation for more and more time, 3 years now, more of my friends and family, people who never have been introduced to ASMR before, they only started watching because I was creating, are suddenly like, oh, I love this. You know, I have, you know, immediate family members and people in my inner circle who now watch ASMR religiously, and they're of all ages, genders, and orientations. So I think it's more like, if anything, taboo. People just don't talk about it. You know, I had to like come out to my now husband when we moved in together, saying like, you might catch me watching a medical exam in bed, you know, like, just so you know, this weird thing that I do. But I don't think it's actually that rare. And there's a lot of different forms of ASMR that you might not even realize, you know, satisfying content, visual content, art content, is all like sort of tagged ASMR. So yes and no. It's niche, and there are, my, you know, style of ASMR is even more niche than the broader ASMR. But I don't think it's just that I have one viewer watching 1,000 times, you know. So monetization, coming back to that, I have three main pathways to monetization for my channel. The biggest one being ad-based monetization. So this is YouTube AdSense. So you get a percentage, I'm sure you're familiar, but you get a percentage of what YouTube makes off of selling ads against your content. Same thing with TikTok. They have the creativity beta program for, it's spreading now, but it's definitely available in the US, which is where I'm based. And I get a small RPM based on ads that are played before or after my videos in the feed, in the For You page. So that is probably 80% of my income, those two ad-based channels. Then there's sponsorships. So working with brands. I don't do a lot of affiliate deals. It's just not worth it to me personally. I haven't found that to be that lucrative. I know for people who do certain types of ASMR satisfying content, like organization and cleaning and cooking or art or something like that, can be more lucrative for them. But for me, I don't really have like a specific product that I would sell. And then the last one would be memberships. So this is TikTok Live streaming, so subscriptions and gifts through TikTok Live, and Patreon for extra content, early access, things like that. Both of those are about 10%. So neither of them are particularly lucrative, but they're important to me because it's how I connect with my audiences.
Is your brand ready to amplify its reach? Well, the Influencer Marketing Factory is here for you. We are a global influencer marketing agency helping brands ignite their growth. From influencer identification to campaign strategy, handling legalities and agreements, to managing shipping and logistics, we got you all covered. We work with hundreds of brands across different verticals, from Fortune 500 companies to direct-to-consumer brands. And we don't just stop there. With detailed ROI analysis, we help brands like yours measure success, transforming impressions into conversions. You can find us at theinfluencermarketingfactory.com or just searching The Influencer Marketing Factory on Google.
People still during live streaming, give the coins and is this still something? Because I remember the time was like something big. I spent a bit less time lately on live. So I'm curious to know if there is still something happening.
I have a decent audience on TikTok Live. I have about 600 monthly paying subscribers. And then, people gift extra coins during the stream. But like I said, it's not a huge financial driver for me. I like it because it's a way for me to directly communicate with my audience, get a sense of what they've been liking lately on my channel, what they are craving. Time-wise, it doesn't equate to the time versus income that I make on a YouTube video. And I've talked to a lot of other creators in my vertical and in general, and YouTube is just significantly more financially impactful for creators than TikTok in general. I have done TikTok series. We're talking about hundreds of sales, still only netting you hundreds of dollars, right? So TikTok takes about 60%, 65%, because they also have to pay out the app stores. So Apple gets 30, they get 35, and you get 35, right? So
it makes sense. And so you said you don't do that many brand deals, but when you do, can you tell us a bit more? Let's say for every marketer today that is listening, and they're like, we have, could be any type of product, right? They're like, we would like to partner up with someone that does ASMR. On your side, what would be some of the tips? Just to be on the same page, what type of content would you create? How would you embed the product or service, whatever it is, in your type of,
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of options for brands to work with ASMR creators, especially if they want to get those multiple hits, because people are going to watch this video multiple times. So especially if you're trying to reach a very specific type of audience, you can reach them over and over and over again for the same price. But for me, I really try and integrate them as seamlessly into the ASMR aspect as possible. So for example, I did a spot with Warby Parker, and a very common ASMR theme is medical exams on my channel. So I did an eyeglass fitting. And gave my viewers an eye test. And a lot of the comments were, I loved this intro. This is the only time I ever actually watched the ad. Like, I love that they let you do this. It's like so nice. So I think, brand awareness, brand consideration really can go up a lot when they let the ASMR creators integrate super seamlessly into their own content. And those brands want that too, right? The brands trust you to know your audience and to know what your audience isn't going to click away from. That being said, I don't do a lot of brand deals, primarily because it's not a good experience for my audience. They are watching these videos to fall asleep. And if, like we've talked about, they watch multiple times, if they don't watch this video again because they found the ad really disruptive in the beginning, then I'm losing out on possibly 10, 20, 30, 100 plays from however many people. So I'm really picky about who I work with. I don't do ad spots that are disruptive. I recently had to back out of a spot because they wanted me to do an end CTA vocally, and I said no, like I'm not going to jump in at the end of a video and disrupt people.
So you said, of course, like, you know, the community for you is very important. Are the people that come back multiple times? So I'm curious, how the community, the ASMR community, the people are really like interested in, not only in your content, but overall as the ASMR, you said before, it's not an issue. It's like the biggest one actually in terms of search. How did it change that evolved in the past years, both on the creating content, because I'm pretty sure that there has been more and more in competition, so you have to find your niche and the niche of the niche. On the one end, you have the content creation. So I'm curious to see how it evolved. And also like how it evolved the approach of listeners, right, and watchers. Like, do they ask requests? Do they want something different? Do they still listen in as they were doing before? Because of the attention span, maybe they're now looking for something different. I'm quite curious to see how these evolved in the past.
Competition has definitely increased, although I don't necessarily see that as a bad thing. For me, if someone's going to have an entry point on creator A, then they may find me creator B eventually. You know, anything that kind of gets more people into the genre is a positive thing in my experience and my opinion. But of course, setting yourself apart is really important, and just being really true to your own self. For me, I only make videos that I would watch. So my target audience that I create for is me, you know, and that makes it really easy, because if I'm editing a video and I think, oh, this is, I would never watch this, then I wouldn't put it out, you know? And that's worked pretty well for me so far, just creating for myself and hoping other people watch it, and they have. Of course, people will ask for things. You have to just, like any other creator, right? You have to just kind of take that into consideration and try and do what your audience is asking, but within the constraints of what you feel comfortable with. So I don't whisper. A lot of ASMR is literally like, you know, that makes my skin crawl. I'm soft-spoken. I'm natural speaking voice. I get a lot of comments like, this would be great if only you would whisper. I'm like, well, there's a million creators out there who whisper. It's just not for me. It's not going to happen for me. And there are a lot of people who flock to my channel because they have the same sort of misophonia experience as I do with whispering, where it's just like, yuck. So yeah, it's a balance.
What is your future as a content creator? Is it continuing doing content? Have you thought to implement something else? Some people make their own products. You said that you don't want to be too intrusive, but at the same time, there is more requests, right, for not third-party products, but made by influencers, because they understand their audience even better than many other products out there. So what is the future for you?
Just that ASMR is a super wonderful community, and I think that's kind of rare on the internet. You know, I'm sure a lot of the creators you talk to, there is a lot more hate or controversy. Like, there's really not very much in ASMR. I get almost no negative comments. Even if it's constructive criticism, it's done so with an intention of bettering the content or creating something that they would, you know, the viewer would enjoy more. It's a very safe place, and I really want to keep it that way. I definitely would like to create something that I think would be beneficial to my audience. It's something I am actively working on, a product. But in the end, I'm just trying to enjoy this experience, because I was a 9-to-5 worker for a decade. It was really hard on me. I'm a socialist. And capitalism was really tough. And not that I'm not being a capitalist by being a content creator, because obviously I am. But I'm just enjoying my life, genuinely. Like, I don't work more than 25 hours a week. I take my dog for long walks. I think about the future and what it'll mean. But I also know that being a content creator can be very temporary and very tumultuous. And I'm going to take it in stride and just enjoy it and feel blessed.
Fantastic. Anna, thank you so much. I already feel more relaxed after this.
Great.
You did something worth it. So thank you for, jokes apart, thank you for sharing your experience with us, your journey. Very curious to see also what is going to happen, right, to the industry, right, overall in the next.
Yeah. I imagine you'll see ASMR more and more. I'm waiting on the Netflix show. You know, Netflix execs, hit me up if you want to collab.
Interesting. I would watch for sure.
Well, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you for being with us today, Anna. This was the Influence Factor by the Influencer Marketing Factory, and I'll see you next week.